Good evening. Welcome into the Thursday edition of Sports Talk. I'm Michael Kaiser in for Scott Beatty. 80 degrees, partly sunny skies. Matt Daniels also in studio with us. Got a busy show for you this evening. I hope to have more offensive firepower on this show than the Cardinals and Cubs offense of late. And
saving that one up all day.
I have been, actually. Because you just look at the numbers. It's not good on the offensive side of things for either team lately.
Yeah, they've struggled this week offensively, and before a big three-game series this weekend down in St. Louis.
Yeah, the Cubs in the last 13 or last six games have only scored 13 runs. Seven of those came on Tuesday against the Brewers, who shut the last two games. The Cardinals did not do very well against the Padres. And one thing that's frustrating to me is you got nine games against three pretty bad teams, the Padres, the Marlins. Although the Padres have won five consecutive series. But you got the Padres, the Marlins, and the Reds. Six of those at home, and you go 4-5.
Yeah, it's a struggle for the Cardinals this season, much like it has been the past two seasons. And just when you think they're starting to get things turned around, both offensively and on the mound, they just kind of put up some clunkers. The offense is definitely cause for concern. You liked what Jose Martinez and Marcelo Ozuna are doing this month, but outside those two guys, no one else is really hitting, and that's showing up in the results each and every night.
Marcelo Ozuna, of course, just recently started hitting home runs this month. He's got four home runs already. Is it five now? Is it five? He's got this like four or five this month alone.
I think five.
Yeah, and he had three the first 2 months of the season. So he's starting to come around a little bit to hitting in the 280s, and just got to get other guys going. You know, Matt Carpenter needs to get going. He had that stretch a couple weeks ago where he was really hitting well, but Dexter Fowler has just been not good this year from the plate. He had a short little stretch where he was doing better. But you know, Harrison Bader's now in his spot in right field, and they're just going to give that a shot. And at this point, you just got to find things that are that will work, because when you go 4-5 in that nine game stretch, and a chance to gain some ground, maybe get in first in the NL Central. Now you're four games back after that, with all the injuries the Cardinals have, waiting for Paul DeJong to come back, hopefully by the end of the month. You know, who knows? It's a hand injury. I mean, how long is it going to take him to get used to hitting the ball again? Because it's not going to feel good for a little bit, I'm sure.
Yeah, no. For those Cards and Cubs fans that are kind of turned off by their respective teams' performance, you can take solace in the fact that Illinois Athletics Hall of Fame is having a great gala event.
Yes.
Friday night up in downtown Chicago, and Lou Henson will be there along with a lot of other former greats here who have worn the orange and blue.
Yeah, I think there's going to be 21 total. We'll have plenty of coverage over that the next couple of days as well. Just got a great event. The actual induction ceremony, of course, it will be September here at State Farm Center. But just a great event last year. Mike Tirico was the MC. This year it's going to be Reese Davis, and should be a lot of fun. I know that the DIA staff's up there tonight trying to raise some money for the open practice facility to kind of renovate.
Got a lot of money they need to raise.
Yeah, what's it around, what, $200 million now? I think it's around that at least.
Sounds about right. I mean, you got the Football Performance Center for about $79.2 million. You got the Ubbin Basketball Complex, which is just in the beginning phases of that project at a cool $30 million. And then obviously hockey is kind of – they've been the talk of the town the past couple months, and that's anywhere between $50 and $60 million. And you got potential upgrades for baseball and softball, about $5 to $8 million for each of those. I might be leaving out one or two other facility items on Josh Whitman's agenda right now, but he's been aggressive and ambitious in trying to upgrade some facilities that are well past due to get some upgrades, and also trying to start a new sport at Illinois as well.
Yeah, that's going to be the difficult part. And they want to get to $50 or $60 million before they could even start hockey. You know, Josh said the other day, and of course it's been talked about a lot, that, you know, didn't want to go, you know, half in on Ubbin and only do $15 million instead of $30 million. Let's just do the whole thing. And I, several years ago, I think in 2011, 2012, I was at Indiana for a football game working with the radio guys. And before the game, it was like an afternoon game, so we were there pretty early. And I got to walk into it's Cook Hall or whatever, and it's really – really nice.
Yeah. I mean, Ubbin, when it opened in 1998, was, you know, the crown jewel of college basketball practice facilities. And in the 20 years since, it's been surpassed by a plethora of programs across the country and in various conferences. And I know we had it in Monday's News Gazette, some of the items that other programs have across the country. And these are aspects that Illinois currently doesn't have at the moment. So we'll I'll be interested to see once they get locked in and get all the $30 million raised and when they can start construction on it and what that's going to do facility-wise for that, and then how that helps them out on the other end of recruiting.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the concern that some people have, and there are skeptics out there, and I understand it, that, you know, you're trying to raise a lot of money for a lot of projects, and you know, I read something the other day about, you know, what happens when the TV contracts start to change, because people are viewing things for some time now, have been viewing things in a different way, mm-hmm. and not on TV, and people are cord cutting because cable packages, I don't like my cable bill. I don't know about you, but you know, it's, people don't want to pay that much for TV. They want to go different routes. They want to and they can watch it on their phone, and and the, you know, NFL has games on Twitter on Thursday nights and things, and that's just a small sample size of things that are going on right now. And where are we going to be in 6, 8, 10 years, and will TV even be playing a factor in people watching games like it is today?
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge cash cow for college athletics these days, and they've certainly capitalized on that pot of money all across the country, not only in the Big Ten but other conferences as well. And it'll be interesting to see what transpires in the future. But like you said, Michael, people are changing their viewing habits and watching sports in different ways and cutting the cord. And how all that affects college athletics down the road, I think, remains to be seen.
You can join the program tonight, 356-9397. Texas on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. Listen live at WDWS.com. Again, Matt Daniels, Michael Kaiser with you. And for Scott Beatty tonight, coming up here in just a few minutes, Mike Irvin, the program director and head coach of the Mac Irvin Fire, the AAU basketball team, one of the best AAU teams in the country. Got a couple of good players on it right now. One of their former players, Ayo Dosunmu, just finished, won back-to-back state championships, played in the Allen Iverson Roundball Classic, played in the Jordan Brand Classic, now on Team USA, of course, had three games under his belt, another game underway as we speak up in Canada, playing Ecuador for the under-18 team and trying to win a gold medal there. And just been it's been a great opportunity for him, and he's getting rave reviews from a lot of people who are observing Team USA right now.
Yeah, his defense has really shined here these past few weeks. I think that really helped him land a spot on Team USA, and the U.S. is really taking care of business in their first three games this week, not really having any adversity, so to speak, or really just putting it to their opponent. I mean, they led Panama 43-0 at the end of the first quarter on Tuesday night, and was 70-8 at halftime, and they're just rolling along right now in the tournament, and Iowa's been a big part of that. And I know Brad Underwood was up there on Tuesday night to watch his game, and I know he and the rest of the Illinois staff, along with the Illinois fan base, is very eager for him to get in Champaign and start affecting this upcoming 2018-19 Illinois men's basketball team.
Well, we'll talk to Mike Irvin about Ayo's brief offseason after the high school season ended before he started playing in those classics and with Team USA, and how much time he spent in the gym. It's been Scott Ritchie, the News Gazette beat writer for the Illini basketball team, has written about it as well, just how much time he spent in the gym working on his shot, improving his shots. One thing he's been hearing from scouts, and get his Mike's thoughts on that, and then just his thoughts on Ayo, and then Khalil Whitney, Adam Miller, just a couple guys also on the Mac Irvin Fire that are major Illini targets for Brad Underwood. That's coming up next. Stay with us here on Sports Talk on a Thursday.
Join me, Dave Ramsey, tonight on News Talk 1400 DWS.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. Michael Kaiser, Matt Daniels with you. Thanks for joining us on this Thursday. Pretty nice day across East Central Illinois. Still trying to get a hold of Mike Irvin. Hopefully we'll get him during the program tonight. Checking in on the score right now. Here's a shocker for you. I'm sure you expected this to happen. USA 37, Ecuador 13. This is the knockout round. This is the quarterfinals. Team USA currently 3-0. Ayo not on the floor at the moment. Not sure if he's played. Just watching this on YouTube. Again, we just talked about this. So I'm not watching this on TV. I'm watching this on YouTube on my phone.
Yeah, exactly. And I believe all the games have been streamed on USA Basketball's Facebook page. So, yeah, it's a chance for people to get a chance to see what Ayo is up to, but it's in a different way. You don't just sit down in front of the couch and turn on the TV now. You could sit down on the couch, but you'd have to have your phone or computer nearby as well.
Yeah, just plug when the Cardinal games are on. And Lauren, the first Facebook game for the Cardinals this year, Lauren was like, well, I got to plug my laptop up to the TV, and I don't want to watch my little laptop. And I'm like, but his cord was broke. And so he's trying to figure that all out. So that's a problem.
Yeah. Lauren and computer sometimes can be a difficult relationship there, but he usually works it out real well. And yeah, I remember when the Cardinals played the Brewers and that game was on Facebook too. We had a few phone calls from some people wondering where the game was at as well. So
yeah, you'll have that. Well, again, 356-9397. Give us a call. Give us your thoughts on Io DeSumo's play so far. Cardinals, Cubs, anything else you want to talk about tonight? Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357. Well, it came out today. It's been a difficult selection, to say the least. The Dyke Edelman Athletes of the Year at the University of Illinois were announced today, just earlier this afternoon. And volleyball's Jordan Poulter and Illini baseball's Bryn Spillane, the recipients of the 2017-2018 Dyke Edelman Awards. Both well-deserved, but it could have gone in different directions. I mean, there was just so many options, and you know, we got Isaiah Martinez on the men's side just as one contender for this as well.
Yeah, and on the female side, you had Jordan Poulter, the winner of it, and then you had Grace Park from women's golf, Ray Baltazar from gymnastics, Jacqueline Swikes from tennis, Kiana Sherlin from softball, Nicole Chiquette, and Urbana grad from track and field. And I think Poulter kind of distinguished herself with her ability on the court this season for the Illini and helped them get to a Sweet 16. And first-year coach Chris Thomas's season with the Illini, and had numerous, postseason recognition, All-American, All-Big Ten honors, things like that. And she's got a chance going into her senior season to be one of the top setters in the country, and a real difference maker already for the Illini. So it's encouraging to see. But I think the tougher choice was on the men's side. You had Bryn Spillane, the winner, and then the five other nominees were Nick Hardy in golf, Alex Vukic from tennis, Isaiah Martinez from wrestling, David Kinziera from track and field, and Alex Diab from gymnastics. And I mean, what Spillane did from early February to mid-May was phenomenal and incredible, and he's very deserving of this award. But I think you could make an argument for the other five finalists as well to take home the honor as top male athlete. But Spillane won out in the end, and you can't go wrong with the Big Ten Player of the Year, who led the Big Ten in batting average, home runs, and RBIs, and was a third-round draft pick of the Cincinnati Reds as well.
Well, we'll come back to that maybe later in the show, but please be joined now on the phone by the program director and the head coach of the Mac Urban Fire, Mike Urban. Mike, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
Not too bad. Right now I'm currently keeping an eye on the Team USA on my phone, watching it on YouTube here. 46-15 is the score, and just want to talk about Io DeSumo and his play so far, and just how he earned his way onto the team. It's been well chronicled. We've written about it here at the News Gazette, News Gazette Media, and it's been people who are covering Team USA have just been really glowing about his play and how he focused on defense. He's talked about it. Did you see that from him during his off-season workouts since the high school season ended? I know he's been in a couple of classics, Allen Iverson and Jordan. A lot of time in the gym for him and before he's coming down here to Champaign. But what did you see from him personally and just the growth on the defensive end and in his shooting the last couple of months?
The last couple of months he's been working, like, really hard. Like, 2 days he's been going, like, twice a day, really trying to get back to where he was. Because remember now, I don't know if everybody remembers, he really finished the season at about 85%.
Mm-hmm.
So his goal was, you know, he had to be down in Champaign, you know, he had the Olympic trials. So he had to really get his body to where he can compete at a high level again. So, you know, the work he's been putting in, I'm not surprised at all. And then as far as on the defensive side, the year before when he played with Charlie Moore, he was like one of Morgan Park's best defenders. So getting back to that level as an elite defender, you know, that didn't surprise me at all.
Well, and he's just been real assertive, you know, on this team, and so he's now in the game for the first time. But 9.3 points a game the first three games, just under 5 assists a game, shooting 67% from the field, nearly 67%. He's just really, making a name for himself here and getting attention from some scouts. But as far as his shot, I want to go back to that. It's difficult mm-hmm. to change your shot and to improve your shot in such a short time frame. kind of break that down for me, like, and just the repetitiveness. How many shots was he taking a day? And just did you see – when did you see the change in the shot?
Yeah, now that's really hard to do, like you say, like change your shot, you know, basically overnight. And we knew going into college he had to, you know, change his shot because, you know, he's saying a 6'4", 6'5". He can't really – you know, he knew he couldn't go in shooting a push shot. And we really wanted to change it right before AAU season last year. Then we said we can't change it because, you know, you don't want to affect any of the rankings or anything, you know, because he's trying to work on a new shot. And then after this, you know, AAU season, we said, well, maybe we'll try to change it then. And then, you know, so much was going on, he really didn't change it. So, you know, he knew going into college he had to change it. So, like I said, you know, during the 2 days, working out extra hard, you know, he just put in the work to change the shot. And now, you know, now is the shot is, you know, it's a higher shot, which he can get it off, you know, on anybody now. Before, it was a push shot, so it's kind of hard to, you know, once you go to college, you know, it's going to be hard to get it off.
Hey, Mike, this is Matt Daniels, the sports editor here at the News Gazette. How has Io just handled all the attention, the magnitude, the pressure of everything since he committed to Illinois last October at all?
Well, really, he's handling it well. And I think, you know, Matt, in a situation like this, you know, you, as you know, a lot of you know, the top players out of the state, you mm-hmm. know, they decided not to go that route, mm-hmm. go to Illinois and ready to change. But with him, he wanted to change everything because, you know, he know he's a leader. So with him being a leader, you know, it's you know, he just, you know, it's in him to lead, so he don't have a problem, you know, want to direct or, you know, pressure. He don't have a problem with pressure at all. And, you know, he takes it well. He, you know, he good with teammates. So, you know, with him, he's a great kid, and I think he's built for everything that's coming his way.
Just Mike, what's it like, too, for what advice do you give him before he, you know, plays his first college game? And we just talked about the attention, the pressure, things like that. I think that's only going to increase, you know, once he gets down here to Champaign and the season starts next season. What advice do you give him before he comes down to Champaign at all and goes through the ringer of being a big-time college basketball player?
Well, you know, knowing Io and his mindset, he wanted to change, you know, he wanted to change the culture of Illinois overnight, you know, and that's good. He wanted to do that, and possibly he can do it. But going down there, whatever he does, he knows that my advice to him is, look, they haven't been to any NCAA tournaments before you. So just, you know, be the leader you are. And then if it happened overnight, then let it happen overnight. If it don't happen overnight, don't get frustrated because, you know, this is the first season where the coach got all his players in there. You know, all the players kind of young. He got some, you know, some veterans there. Mm-hmm. But if it don't happen, still stay focused and make sure something positive come out of the season. You know, some positive come out of the season, you know, where, you know, y'all win. You know, 18, 19 games, you know, that's a positive. Mm-hmm. You know, now, you know, if it happened where you lead the team, all the young guys ready to roll, mm-hmm. and you know, y'all can finish, you know, in the top 5-6 in that Big Ten, then, you know, great. But don't you know, you new, you young, just stay positive.
Mike Urban of the Mac Urban Fire joining us on Sports Talk here on a Thursday. Matt Daniels, Michael Kaiser with you. Mike, obviously it's been an interesting offseason from a transfer standpoint. There's always transfers. I mean, it's just hundreds and hundreds across the country, and there's always a couple every team. There's, you know, I think last year there was 700 and some transfers, somewhere around that number. So it's not unexpected. But guys like Matisse Facile, Mark Smith, Tijon Lucas, Michael Finke, and then just late last week, Greg E. Boyk-Badin all left, and LaRon Black went pro. What is Io's take on that and just seeing the team really change a lot from the end of the season, only 4 returning players?
Yeah, I mean, Io's take on that is that, you know, I mean, he knew he was coming in to a new team anyway, but, you know, we thought that some veterans would still be around. It didn't happen that way. But he's coming in, and then everybody else is coming in new. So that's kind of good. They can learn from coach, and you know, you know, they. You don't have a problem with saying, okay, this coach this way, or that coach this way. Not everybody can learn coach system, you know. And I think it's better that all new guys coming in, actually, because I mean, if you're gonna change the culture down there, I think, you know, I mean, let all new guys come. They don't know that they was losing before, or you know, they really haven't mm-hmm. been to the tournament, so they kind of new. So their mindset is we can win. So and sometimes it's bad, but I think in this case it's not so bad.
Mike, what
and
was
then
your
part of the part of the transfers with 700 transfers going on a year.
Mm-hmm.
that number is unbelievable. That's unbelievable. Now either a lot of coaches making a lot of mistakes. I don't know what's going on with that number.
That's true.
Mike, what was your first interaction with Brad Underwood after he got the Illinois job, and what do you think of the job he's done in his first 15 months here in Champaign?
My first reaction is when he got the job, you know, I kind of heard he was, you know, kind of in the mix. So, you know, I heard about last minute. And Brad Underwood, I seen what he did to Stephen F. Austin. And, you know, I seen what he did at Oklahoma State. And, you know, I knew he did a good coaching job. So, I mean, at the end of the day, he's coming to Illinois, you're like, okay, you know, he can coach, he won games. You know, you can't take that away from him, he won games. So now, you know, you come here, you sit down, I got to meet him and talk to him, and he's been great. He's been great ever since, you know, he got to Illinois. He's been in Chicago, like, you know, the previous coaches in the past, you know, they always show their face, but he's kind of, you know, he's kind of like a – He kind of remind you of Bob Huggins, kind of mm-hmm. big and kind of mm-hmm. you know mean on the sideline, mm-hmm. but he's just the opposite in person. You mm-hmm. know, he's a very, very nice guy. You know, very nice guy. So, I mean, we love him here in Chicago. We think he's doing a good job. He's recruiting the players, and I think you couldn't ask for far from a recruiting standpoint. You know, you couldn't ask for nothing more than what he's delivered so far.
How important is that to have a solid relationship with the head coach, the University of Illinois, for coaches in the city of Chicago at all?
Oh, that's big because, you know, Illinois is like, you know, that's like Chicago school. Well, it's Chicago school for the, you know, older people, what we know.
Mm-hmm.
I know Northwestern Dean is, this is, you know,
yeah.
Chicago school now, but, you know, I'm from the old school, so we all know Illinois, you know, that's our state school.
Mm-hmm.
So we all know Illinois has been our state school, our school of Chicago. So to see him here is good. To see him interacting with everybody in Chicago, that's great. You know, that's perfect for the city, for the state. So we love with his presence here.
And Mike, maybe this is you know, meaningless because coaches go see players all the time, but the quick trip to Canada, because I think he just went there for one game to watch Iowa. Obviously, he's got a lot of different things going on with the new players in town already. They had some meetings, and I think the first official team meeting is Monday. But obviously, that's maybe an Iowa question. Just what do you think it means now to have Brad make a quick trip to Canada for a game the other night?
Oh, that's big. That's big, especially as an incoming freshman, Iowa. You look in the stands and you see coach at the game, you know, for the support, you know, because when you're on the road, you're young, you always love to see a family member, somebody there supporting. But to know your head coach came over there, supported you, I mean, that's big, you know. And I know Io take that as, man, coach came to see me play. And that's when, you know, just the support, it makes somebody like Io want to run through a brick wall for you because he know you there for him. Then he kind of be there for you. So I think that was great that he found some time to go watch him play.
You referenced Bob Huggins, and his sideline demeanor is well-known. Frank Martin, the same. Brad, it's a chip off the old block of those two guys on the sidelines. The scowl he gets, and it makes me feel like, and Matt probably could agree, that I'm glad I'm not the guy he's looking at when he's mad like that. I had, you know, you as a coach, Nick at Morgan Park, and some hard-nosed guys. I'm sure his dad isn't easy on him when they're working out. some people say maybe that style doesn't work for everyone. How well does Io react to hard coaches who are hard on you? Obviously, Brad loves his players, but he's hard on them when he needs to be, and some people don't react well to that. How does Io react to that style of coaching?
Io reacts to that style. Io used to it, because that's the way that I coach. That's the way, my brother Nick coach. And like you said, his father's down. And so some people can take that, That's why Coach Huggins has so much success mm-hmm. where he was at. That's why Frank Martin has success where he's at. That's why Coach Kyle, down in Kentucky has success where he's at. Tom Izzo has, success because, I think a lot of them nowadays, they kind of got that look. The thing that made Coach Underwood a little different with his look, he's taller than everybody. So that's the only difference,
Yeah, for sure. Very true. Mike, as you're aware with recruiting, once a prospect commits, the next question from a lot of people is, well, who's next? What can you tell us about guys like Khalil Whitney and Adam Miller you got there in the Mac Irvin Fire program?
Khalil Whitney, five-star prospect. He reminds you of the athletes that was coming to Illinois, not the 90, the team in the 90s, the team before that with Kendall Gill and Nick Anderson, where he just, mm-hmm. the flying Illini. That's Khalil all the way, where he can do so many things. He's versatile, he can shoot the ball, he can put it on the floor, he puts his head in the rim when he's dunking. He probably got a, 40-inch vertical. So with him, he fit that flying Illini, old school player. So with him, you can get a recruit like that. That's definitely going to push your program because he will eventually be a lottery pick whenever he decides to go to the, to the pro. And you got Adam Miller, another kid who's special, 6'3", 6'4", point guard that can shoot with the best of them, one of the top shooters in the country. So, with him, he is another five-star prospect. So, Illinois on both of them guys, you can't go wrong. Them instant impact guys, them Final Four guys. Mm-hmm. You're not talking about making a tournament. You're talking about trying to win it, mm-hmm. and they fit that mold. And actually, it's another kid we have, Terrence Shannon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. He's really blown up this spring.
Yeah, he's blown up, just got back from Louisville. And, he got offered from there the other day. And, that's another one where, he's 6'7" and he flies. He's like Kenny Battle with the left hand and mm-hmm. flying on, athletic dunk on you. But he's, he can dribble probably better than Kenny and probably more. He probably, a better scorer, but he just fit that mold, tough, mm-hmm. And good. So, they got some good prospects that's recruiting that I think that, you land one of them or a couple of them, then you're probably looking at the Final Four trying to win it.
Mike, I think all the Illini fans listening right now, they got a little bit excited about the comparisons to some of those flying Illini guys. And I think your best bet is that maybe for those guys just to come here to make Illini fans feel good after that conversation. I've seen a couple highlight tapes, and we all know highlight tapes are highlight tapes that can be pieced together really well. But you can just see, I just happened to see another one, a real short one today of Adam Miller. I forgot where I saw it on Twitter, and it's a second one I've seen in the last couple of weeks. And it just, his length and his quickness to the rim and his jumping ability, and I'm like, man, he looks good. I mean, just from an athleticism standpoint, and again, it's just a highlight tape, but he just looks really good on tape, and just a guy's a lefty as well.
Yeah. And he's big time. I mean, he's only getting better by the day. His work ethic is unbelievable. He's working out like crazy. He's going through two days right now. And the thing about these kids is, that's in the program that you mentioned is they want to get better, so they're in the gym every day to get better. And we looking at these guys and, these guys are future NBA players as long as they stay healthy because they work at it. It's hard. It's hard to find kids with good work at it. And they all got it.
Well, Mike, I know that you have three-year players are associated with Team USA Basketball. Of course, Iowa, we mentioned already with the under-18 team, and then Adam and Khalil with under-17. So you've got your hands full with a lot of talent, and you guys keep rolling that out every year with lots of talent. So appreciate your time tonight, and good luck to the rest of your summer for AIU, and we'll keep an eye on Iowa until he makes it down to Champaign.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, problem. Mike.
Okay.
Yep. That is Mike Irvin, the program director for Mac Irvin Fire, the AU program, Matt, that has a ton of success and a lot of players over the years that played high-level basketball.
Yeah, and Brad Underwood and his staff have really developed a strong relationship with that program. It helped landing Io last December, so we'll see if that pays off in the future with Khalil Whitney, Adam Miller, and maybe Terrence Shannon as well.
Of course, Adam Miller and Io just played together for one season this past season, won that state championship. Khalil Whitney, he doesn't play high school basketball in Chicago anymore, but he's stuck with Mac Irvin Fire. He used to be in Chicago, and so he does have the Illinois connection. And I forgot, it's on the East Coast. Isn't he on the East Coast?
Yeah, he's out in Roselle Catholic in New Jersey. That's where he's played the past two seasons. Played his freshman year in Chicago. I think Chicago Solario, I want to say.
That sounds
then,
right.
Then moved out east, but still plays with the Mac Irvin Fire on the AAU circuit.
Yeah, he knows where the success he's had over the years and keeps coming back to that. All right, we'll come back at more of a sports talk here on a Thursday night, maybe more baseball conversation. Of course, the World Cup got underway today, if anybody is watching, at least from the men's side, because the men did not make it from the USA. Then the U.S. Open, the golf major championship got underway today. A couple former Illini on that list. Dylan Meyer is one of those guys, Steve Stricker as well. And then some interesting comments from the Oklahoma State Athletic Director today that got a tweet from the head coach with a couple of emojis. Just really interesting. And I read that before I came in the building this afternoon, and I went, really? With that success? That's the AD saying?
So you always got to recruit and look ahead.
Yes.
Never be satisfied. Even your boss apparently isn't either.
No. Apparently 10
if you're Mike Gundy.
Yeah, apparently the 10-win seasons they have over and over is not satisfying the boss. We'll tell you about that all coming up. Stay with us. Sports Talk here on a Thursday.
Please join us for the next Bohannon Show. We'll be talking to Dr. Meg Meeker, who has written We Got This, Unlocking the Hero Dad Within, tonight at 9 on DWS.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Michael Kaiser. He's Matt Daniels. Thanks for joining us. 356-9397 or Texas 351-5357. Mentioned before the break, the Oklahoma State AD making some interesting comments. We'll get to those in a little bit. Dylan Meyer, former Illini golfer. And Matt, that's really weird to say former Illini golfer just a few weeks ago. That's not the language we were using.
No.
But he finished the day one of the U.S. Open, 7 over par after being just 1 over par the first 9 holes. He started on the back 9, so the front 9 did not treat him very well, had a triple bogey, and just did not play well on the second 9. But still, nonetheless, to be at the U.S. Open, you know, right after leaving school is a pretty good thing. I know a lot of guys do that, from especially the high-level guys, but it's a good experience for him being around guys like Tiger Woods and Dustin Johnson and those guys.
Yeah, exactly. And Steve Stricker, right now, he's still on the course. He's at 3 over, tied for 19th. So you got two former Illini out in New York. Don't know if Meyer will be able to make the cut, but Stricker seems to be in a solid spot near the end of his first round. And as we all know, the U.S. Open is one of the most difficult majors as far as scoring. And you always see scores just a little bit under par, or sometimes even the winner shoots over par. So, but it's a great experience for Dylan Meyer. Had to make it out of local qualifying in St. Louis while Illinois season was still going on. And then about a week after his Illinois career ended, when he tied for 4th at the NCAA Championships, had sectional qualifying in Ohio, and that's how he advanced to the U.S. Open. And I'm sure he's picking brains of as many golfers as he can this week, while also working on his game, and just knowing the fact that he's playing in the U.S. Open, I think can go a long ways towards his confidence as his pro career just gets going.
Well, here's the comments from Oklahoma State Athletic Director Mike Holder. Again, the head coach Mike Gundy just put two emojis on Twitter, one of the, you know, inquisitive face and just kind of like, what in the world is going on? He said he praised Gundy's success, but said he wants the coach to do a little more in recruiting. Now, mind you, Mike Gundy has a 114-53 record in 13 seasons at Oklahoma State, several 10-win seasons, three consecutive, six 10-win seasons in the past eight, and six AP top 20 finishes since 2010. Now, the AD's problem is the recruiting class in 2018 finished 32nd in ESPN's national rankings. Previous classes were 35th, 46th, 34th, 28th, and 27th. Now, all these stats that I just threw at you, every Illini fan would take them again and again and again. And I understand two different levels. Oklahoma State's won a lot of games since Gundy has been there. But when you're winning 10 games on a regular basis, you got a coach who's won 14 and 53 over 13 seasons. I'm not sure if the AD publicly needs to be saying, I need my head coach to have higher recruiting classes, rankings-wise. Well,
and you hear this from every coach at every FBS program on national signing days. They don't care about recruiting rankings. So it's interesting to hear.
Lovey said it to me. I said, you're probably not very happy.
Yeah, no, every coach says the same exact thing. And it's true to an extent. I mean, the scouting services and recruiting services do the best job they can in terms of evaluating these players. But just because you have a bunch of five-star kids doesn't necessarily mean you're going to turn the program right around. It certainly helps to have the best players. Just ask Nick Saban and Kirby Smart and other college football coaches. And it's not like Gundy's getting a bunch of walk-ons with no other offers or anything like that. I mean, just locally here, he's got a kid who's on campus now down in Stillwater, and Hunter Woodard out of Tuscola, the big offensive lineman there, had a bunch of high major interest before he committed to Oklahoma State last spring, and Illinois was in on him, and a number of other high major programs too. So heck, Wes Lunt went to Oklahoma State, was arguably the state's top quarterback his senior year at Rochester. And yeah, I don't know. It's very interesting comments. And what Gundy's done at Oklahoma State is nothing short of a miracle, because essentially before he became coach, they'd have a season here or there, where they were decent. But they were the redheaded stepchild to Oklahoma in the state, to what the Sooners were doing. So I don't know. Maybe this will – you always hear Mike Gundy's name floated about each and every offseason when it comes to potential coaching openings, and – maybe these public comments that his boss made might push him over the edge. I'd be really interested to see what Brad Underwood would have to say about Mike Holder.
I think if Brad sees these comments, he's going to go, I like where I am.
Yeah, exactly. I don't really have to worry about Josh Whitman spouting off. I'd like to see your recruiting rankings a little bit higher.
Yeah. Well, here's one other thing that Mike Holder said. I would just say, Mike, you've got to change your thinking on recruiting a little bit. That would be all. I think sometimes we settle when we don't have to, but I'm not out there recruiting, and I have no idea how to recruit football players.
We'll be interested, too, if he actually has said these exact comments to Mike Gundy ahead of time instead of making them I believe it's like a podcast that we recorded down with a media outlet down in Stillwater. And yeah, I don't know. Recruiting's crazy, and it's even more crazier when the athletic director of a Power 5 school says you need to have better recruiting rankings for a program that has had success. I can see it if they haven't had success, but he's had success.
Yep, that was from the Pistols Firing podcast earlier this week. Adam Rittberg, ESPN, put that story together. Take our final break. Come back and wrap up the show here on Sports Talk.
Today at NewsGazette.com, Inside Illini Basketball, our weekly podcast with college basketball beat writer Scott Ritchie. This week he talks about the upgrades to Illinois' basketball facilities.
Welcome back to Sports Talk on a Thursday. Just a minute to go. Thanks for joining us. Michael Kaiser, Matt Daniels with you. Thanks to Mike Irvin of Mac Irvin Fire to talk about Io DeSumo, Khalil Whitney, Adam Miller, and others, Terrence Shannon on his guys he's got. One more stat I want to throw at you. 98 Cardinals batters walked to the plate over the three-game series against the Padres. Zero walked. This is Joe Trezza. According to the Cardinals PR last night, the last time the Cardinals team did not draw a walk over an entire three-game series was May of 1978. I think they've had a three-game stretch. What's happened since then as far as a straight three-game series? That's not very good.
That's bad. That's my astute analysis at this juncture of the show.
I think that's all it needs to be said. That sums it up well. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Tamara McDaniel for executive producer running the show tonight. Again, thanks to Matt Daniels. Thanks to you. I'll be back in the chair tomorrow night. Matt and I will both be here. Have a great Thursday night, everybody.